Is that right? Volume? I didn't know it had been 5 years, but who was here 5 years ago? Good to see you again. The Lord Jesus is still reigning, and He will forever. His power, His love, His grace evermore proclaim. Is that not what all preaching should be about? Preaching is not about just instruction. It's not just about doctrine. It's not just about truth, history. It's about the glory of the reigning Savior today and forever. Any preaching that is not centered, whether you're in Genesis or Habakkuk or in the Gospels, any preaching that's not centered on the glory of God in His Son is not staying true to the Scriptures. Right? This book is about the glory of God most marvelously displayed through His Son. That's what this 66 books is about. And it's a privilege, beloved, to be with you. Thank you, Phil, for the privilege to be here back with you. We're going to turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. I'd like to speak today, Lord helping me, on the topic or the theme of the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. The compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you read through the Gospels, brothers and sisters, you do this. When you read through the Gospels, the compassion that Jesus Christ is constantly showing is incredible. For anybody at any level of society to say, you talk about this Savior. He's not compassionate. He's hard. They don't know Him. They don't know Him. But this is a beautiful scene of a leper who comes to Jesus. So I want us to see this theme, His compassions, that Lamentations verse in the King James says, for His compassions, right, fail not, His compassions for His people, for sinners, for you today in need. Let's pick it up. We're only going to read three verses. This is in the early days in the Gospel of Mark of Jesus' ministry. These are the early days. Verse 40, this is the Word of God. I'll read it and then I'll pray. And there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him. And he knelt down to Him and he said unto Jesus, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, look at here, saints, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Amen. We'll stop there. May God bless His Word to His people. Let me pray. Father, You are reigning in majesty today, worthy of all praise, in Plano, in Texas, in this country, throughout all the countries of the world. You are glorious, worthy of all praise. Today, Lord, we sing those great hymns, declaring, remembering the coming of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, born in such a lowly estate, the King of Kings. And yet today, Lord, Your majesty, Your glory is without limit. Your truth here, Your life, Your love, Your compassion is fully displayed right here in these few verses. Lord, teach us. Give Your Word life. Let every heart and ear hear it today. Receive it. Speak to us, Lord, for Your glory, for the good of Your people. Through our Savior. Amen. The Lord Jesus constantly felt and showed compassion towards people. Particularly some of you young people, you children, you young people today, just hear me today. This doesn't seem that long ago. I was your age. Just incredible. Here I am. I used to come in this region and go play high school basketball against teams in this area. I was a Denton kid, grew up and played, and now, boom, I turned 60 this calendar year. The sands of time are sinking. But I want you to hear today about a compassionate Savior that today is ready to work in your life and for those in desperate need. He shows compassion towards His people. We see that the Lord Jesus, if you think about through the Gospels, He shows compassion to the multitudes. The 5,000, the 4,000, the big groups that were hungry. He'd been teaching them. They couldn't go away. They didn't have any food. It says He was moved with compassion. The Lord Jesus was compassionate with the thousands who were hearing Him. And He would speak to them with a heart of compassion. He knew that they had no shepherd. And so you'll see in the text where they were sheep, or they were people without a shepherd. Nobody to guide them, nobody to care for them, nobody to feed them. And He says He was moved with compassion. The two blind men that cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ, crying out for mercy, it says He was moved with compassion. I'm wanting you to stay with me here. The Lord Jesus was constantly showing compassion. And nothing has changed. He is still showing compassion today. When He healed the demon-possessed man, and He saw the desperate state of that man, it says He was moved with compassion. And when He saw the widow who lost her son, you remember the funeral procession? Her only son was dead, and He stopped. You talk about changing a funeral plan for the day. He stopped it and raised him from the dead. It says in the text, Jesus was moved with compassion. He did it for her, and He did it for the young man that was dead. He raised him. And so here, in this very brief account, Jesus encounters a man with leprosy. And it says here in the text, He was moved with compassion. I'm emphasizing this because we're talking about God in the flesh loving and being compassionate to people, pitiful, needy people, anywhere, at any time, having compassion on them and upon this man, a man who had nobody else to show him compassion. That's us, ultimately, right? It's all of us. Who do we need compassion from? The Lord God, through His Son. So, brothers and sisters, I want to say at the outset, nothing about the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ has ceased. It's not diminished. He's not running low on compassion. He's abounding in compassion. A little over a week ago, when my wife and I were traveling, we kept getting reports on Brother Jesse Barrington. It's dark and we're driving. And I'm thinking, oh Lord, You love to show compassion. Lord, have mercy. Come and do great things. Just like you, many of you praying, crying out to God. Why? Because He loves to show compassion. And that's the theme today. He's pouring it out. He's compassionate to save sinners. We don't get into this gospel life, this new creation, because of works. Nothing we do. We don't choose a better choice than another person. He has compassion on us. And He's compassionate towards His flock, His people, here and throughout the earth. He's full of compassion. Hard circumstances, difficulties. So you get the theme. The compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody might say, right now, you might be thinking, or you might see me out in the parking lot, and you might say, Philip, my whole situation, my current situation is hopeless. And I would say to you, the Lord Jesus Christ loves to show compassion. Somebody else might say, Philip, the medical condition that we're facing or a family member is facing is beyond any help. And I could say to you, based upon this living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ loves to show compassion. Or you might say to me, I have a broken relationship that it is so severed, so irreparable, there's no way it could ever be healed. And I say unto you, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loves to show compassion. There's nothing too hard from Him. That's a theme that you need to take today and I need to take away with great rejoicing and own it. Jesus shows compassion. Everything I just named off is dealt with in the Scriptures. Anything that you may face, situations that are hopeless, medical conditions that seem hopeless, relationships that seem too broken to be healed, the Savior of the world knows how to heal them. He can do it. So stay with me today. We'll move through this. I would like us to see this story of the leper coming to Jesus. I'd like to see us from two vantage points. Consider the story from the side of the leper. consider it from his side. Let's try to, if we can, let's just try to feel what he must have felt as a leper. So that's the perspective of a desperate man. And beloved, it doesn't matter if you're 15 years old and you're coming into your own, your young strength, or if you're 80 years old, doesn't matter. All of us need Christ. You need him. None of us are strong by ourselves. So from the leper's side, let's consider it from the Lord Jesus' side. So you follow me? We're going to take the story from the leper's side, and then we're going to put it from the Lord Jesus' side. And hopefully today this will be fresh meat and drink to your soul. First, the leper. The leper is desperate. Children, you young children, y'all know what a leper was when I say this man with leprosy? Do you kids know what I'm talking about? Have y'all seen books or stories about it? It was horrible. Horrible. Think of this. The man had leprosy. We don't know anything about his socioeconomic background. All we know from the text is he has leprosy, and that's enough to tell us he was hopeless. It's just a matter of living out his days alone and dying. No remedy. A horrible condition. The dreaded disease, leprosy. Sometimes we hear things like that and we try to understand how difficult it must have been, but we can't really grasp it. You just can't. If you have the stomach for it, and if you want to do a little bit of research, you can pull up and read about or see pictures of people with leprosy. It's pitiful, isn't it? It's very pitiful. There was no disease then, and in other centuries, clearly, but there was no disease in that day that was more feared or devastating to their whole life. It didn't have any respect of persons. It didn't matter if you were a high-ranking person or a servant. It didn't matter. If you got leprosy, you were done. Now, this is the picture, beloved. Why would he need the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we're going to get to that. But his desperation meant that nothing that men could do could solve the problem. Makes me wonder, did his parents still, were they alive? Was he married? Was he now completely disconnected from his wife or family? Whatever. It's really a sad scene. Leprosy was physically gruesome, right? It just disfigured the human body. It made people just repulsive, sometimes, especially in their latter days, to look at. Doctors couldn't do anything with it. Nobody could do anything with it. They had to be set apart. Children, have you heard that before? Where lepers, they would have the colonies. They would put them out, sometimes on an island. You get leprosy. Can you imagine your brother, your sister, your dad one day being taken away and being taken out on a ship somewhere and dropped and you would never see him again? That's the scene, dear ones. We're talking about a man who was desperate. There's people all over this metroplex. There's political leaders and council members and leaders at all levels of corporations, and they're desperately in need. They don't know they have leprosy. If you connect the story here, they don't realize, I've got to get to somebody who can heal me here in the heart. That's what's happening here. Jesus is going to show what he's really, really about in trying or coming to save and rescue and bring men to himself. Because all men are desperate. Just the leper happens to be an extreme case where we see it. We can get it. So it's physically gruesome. It was socially humiliating. I mean, none of us, when you get honest, want to be socially a joke, right? Some of you young people. It just, you know, when I was a teenager or college age or whatever, I mean, I didn't want to be a social joke. Whatever that, however you would fill in the blank. You get what I'm saying? But to be an outcast, to be utterly socially discarded, man, and that's what would have happened to him. This is from the leper's perspective. He is separated from society. He'll never integrate again with society. Another point about the leper. Economic ruin. Economically, it would not have mattered what his job was, what kind of trade, what kind of skill sets. Can you imagine? If somebody in our society, some popular musician, LeBron James, gets leprosy and he's just put out forever away from society? Stay with me here. This is so permanent, so hopeless. It's beautiful, really, what is about to happen. It's incredible. no income, no ability to work, no ability to do what they had used to, what they had been able to do before in the earlier years of their life. This man, desperately cut off. But he had heard of Jesus. He had heard of Jesus. I'd heard about him. Just that, hold that thought. The other day, when I was out of town with my wife, we were in Arkansas. And every now and then when we're there, they'll have this mission that ministers to young women that have lived in sin and God has had mercy in bringing them out and they've impacted. And then they come and they set up a table. Have you ever seen this where they make things? They raise money. So when I see them, I try to engage. I got out of the car and I thought, there they are again through the years because we go back to this same spot. And I went over and met the young lady. Samantha was her name. And I walked up and said, I've met some of the other ladies that have been impacted. Have you been converted? First question I ask. Have you been changed? And she said, I have been. And she began to talk about what happened. She had spent time in prison. She'd had a rough life. And she finally made the statement, Jesus found me. He found me. His willingness, His eagerness, His intentionality to go after and save sinners is ever put on display in the Scriptures. And so here's a leper, a great candidate for the grace of Jesus Christ. Here's the theme that are where I am. This leper had heard about Jesus. This woman I met in the has been rescued. She said, I had heard about Jesus a lot of my life. But she said, I didn't find him or he didn't find me until I went to prison. And he found me. This man had heard about Jesus. Just in the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, we see that Jesus is already doing great miracles. His fame, right? His reputation is spreading. People are beginning to hear about him. And so now it's the leper's time to get to Jesus. I've got to get to him. His willingness, meaning his desire, his eagerness, his desperate state, drove him to go find the Lord Jesus Christ. So often in our day, people that we love, that we speak to, never feel that they need to desperately turn to Him. Right? Isn't it tragic? People that are perishing. People that are living in the folly of their lost life. They don't need Christ. That's what they think. This man knew he needed God. So what does he do? First, what does he do? What would you do? You hear about this Messiah. You hear about this one just in the text of Mark, he's already been healing demonic people, people that have been demonized. He's healing people with sickness. He's dealing with things that no man can deal with. If you have heard this, you would have thought, no, wait a minute, I may have a chance here. That's what he had heard. We don't know the backstory. How would he receive me? We don't know what he's thinking. But we do know this. He goes after the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep in mind, he comes to Jesus. He's not supposed to go and be with anybody. It says in the text here, verse 40, he came beseeching Jesus, beseeching, crying out in need, beseeching, and he knelt down. He fell before him. Now, just hold that thought. Fell before the Lord Jesus Christ, needing Him. None of us go to our doctors and we fall down like that before Him. Right? You don't. I don't. Nobody goes to a financial advisor and falls down before Him. I need help. Nobody goes to a counselor and falls down before Him. Something bigger is going on here. This leper comes to Jesus with absolute everything he's got and just falls down before Him and beseeches Him. I'm sure for the disciples or for the men, those around him, it probably was a pretty stunning scene. Who knows what this guy looked like? But he comes. He comes to Jesus. He has to get to him. It's just remarkable because we know from Old Testament language or phrases and terms and even extensive narrative, like in the book of Leviticus, lepers were not supposed to go and be with people. You couldn't go back and circulate with society. Right? They were banished. They were put away. They were no longer going to be in a place to interact with those that knew them, those that loved them. But he comes in spite of the prohibitions, if you want to say that, from the Old Testament, he comes. He comes to Jesus, and he comes ready for mercy, pleading mercy. So that's what he does. He gets to Jesus. But he doesn't only come to Jesus. Look at his approach. He's pleading, I need you. I need you, Lord. I need you to do something great and glorious. And so he's asking him for a miracle. Do you ask Jesus for miracles? Do you? Now, I don't mean this. I'm not trying to be name it and claim it bizarre stuff. There's been enough of that in this area of Dallas-Fort Worth going back to the 60s and 70s. I understand name it and claim it stuff. I've seen that kind of showbiz, if you want to call it that, in the name of Christianity. I'm talking about, do we go to Jesus for miracles? Do we believe Him for great things? Do we believe that He's changed, that He doesn't want to anymore? We shouldn't hold back, beloved. Needs, desperate needs, you, a family member, a friend, a brother or sister in Christ, we go to Him. Lord, do it for Your name's sake. We don't need to be scared of these things. This guy wouldn't. As they would say, what did he have to lose? Nothing. He had everything to gain. And so he comes. He comes to Jesus. He comes with a pleading heart, and he lays his case, his need before Christ. He lays it there and falls before Him. The simplest way to put it is, when you fall before somebody, you worship them. You worship them. You worship when you fall before somebody. Like I said, you don't fall before your doctor. You don't fall before a financial expert. You don't fall before a counselor like that because you don't worship them. You might need their help. This man came to Jesus to worship Him. We approach Him in worship. And therefore, when we come in worship, we already acknowledge you can do anything. It's just so fundamental to the heart of somebody who needs and knows Christ. They need Him. They come to Him. Today, there's things in your lives, I'm convinced, that you need big work of God in it, right? I could just turn this off and say, hey, brother, can we just go around the room and share, and we're going to go to prayer. Peter was in jail. It was a hopeless situation. The church was praying. Prisons are being opened. He's being escorted out. Prayer meetings matter. Meaning, He hears, He moves, He doesn't change. He's on the throne. He delivers. This man's coming to Jesus for a miracle. That's what Jesus does. He's the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. He reigns over everything. His Spirit is with us. You with me? You see the bigness, the vastness of this? We're getting it just through the eyes of the leper. He worships Jesus. He knows that Jesus has the power, and he already knew enough about Jesus that he was compassionate. He was compassionate. The second aspect about the leper. The first is, what did he do? He gets to Jesus, falls before Him, cries out to Him, asks Him for mercy, beseeches Him. What's the second thing? He states, you can do it. He says, if you will. Look at that, the end of verse 40. If you will, if it's your desire, you can do it. You can make me clean. Y'all with me? Isn't this phenomenal? He actually testifies, you can do anything. You can do it. I'm trusting you. If you will. What a statement. If you will. We find ourselves, don't we, at times praying, Lord God, Lord Jesus, if you will. Give life. Bring Him through it. Lord Jesus, have mercy, Lord, today. What I'm to be doing, decision I have to make. Lord, helping somebody that's in a bad situation. Lord, you can do it. You can turn it all. A marriage that it looks just completely gone. God can turn. He can do it. That's what He's saying. If you will, you can make me clean. You can make me well. You can restore me. Of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, this man was sure. Young people, are you sure? What are you going to build your life on? What are you going to spend your days on? What's going to shape the course of your whole life? It's marvelous. Just the truth, the permeating truth of this Savior, His compassion, His impact on your life to do great and glorious things, things that men can never do to you. And that's what we see here in this leper. The power of Jesus is unlimited, and this man knows he can do something for him. Just a note here, as you think about reading through the Gospels, the proud Pharisees never ask Jesus for mercy. The Pharisees never asked Jesus for mercy. But the desperate people in the Gospels and in the life when Jesus walked in the earth, the desperate people constantly pleaded for mercy. And you know what? They got mercy. They got it. They wanted it. They came to the one who could give it. They fell before Him and they got it. This world doesn't need stiff theologians that speak of things in these lofty ways and don't know the Savior that has compassion. This world needs to hear of a Savior that's ready to rescue and work in their life. This country, this world is going crazy all around us. Control and power and games and lies and political scandals and wickedness in high places because men walk in their own way. They need to be pointed to a Savior that will change everything in their life. Starting in their hearts. Pharisees, people that think they've got it figured out. I'm going to do it my own way. I'm thinking this one through. And they won't turn to Jesus Christ. They won't find mercy. They won't. The person who bows before Him, comes before Him, pleads with Him, Lord, my life is Yours. Again, you young people, you're at such a beginning of your life. God willing, where are you going to go? What are you going to build your life on? How are you going to view everything around you? You have to look to Jesus Christ and follow Him, and then everything gets put in its proper place. I'm not saying you wouldn't have troubles and difficulties, but He's with you. He's with us. I looked at that young lady, and here's this guy from Texas, and this young lady who's been delivered at the piers by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I looked at her and turned to her and began to speak on the glories, the kindness of Jesus Christ towards us. And now she's looking at a guy way older than her. Is that so? I wanted her to leave thinking, wait a minute, there's more in this Christian life. There's more yet to come. Yes, there is. He's with us. So this leper who needed help came to Jesus with faith. With faith. He believed he could do it. So now the whole scene hinges. What will Jesus do with him? That's from the leper's perspective. Hopeless, outcast, nowhere else to turn. I'll get to Jesus and I'll plead with Him. You can do it if you will. Now, shift the view, shift the lens. What does Jesus Christ do with him? The great Savior of the world. Go back to verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, He put forth His hand and He touched him. And He said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Think about this. Let's take these little phrases one by one. It says Jesus had compassion. How would you define compassion? Compassion. I'll just tell you this. Watch when the little ones stumble and get hurt today and watch the moms and the other ladies. What's how they'll view the little ones? I've raised 6 children. My wife and I have been privileged to raise children, 4 of ours, and then adopted my nephew and my niece and raised them from when they were little bitty. And they fall and they get hurt and they have needs. What does my wife do? She's right there. It's compassion. I mean, she's all in. You moms know what I'm talking about. Sometimes don't we as fathers? We look at our wives and we just go, that is amazing. One time Michaela had that West Nile or whatever that was, 10 or 12, 14 years ago. And she's just laying on the floor, just limp, little girl. Where's my wife? Hour after laying in the floor with her. You see, compassion. Having compassion. You talk about compassion. Jesus Christ was the ultimate one in showing compassion. And He still is. He still is. He abounds. He overflows with compassion. As Keith Green sang in that song years ago, when I thirst for love, You're a fountain to my soul. He loves to pour out compassion of Himself, His nearness, His power, His grace, His comfort.
It says Jesus was moved with compassion. The Greek word literally means that inside you, what's in you, your bowels yearn. You know, you hear the statement, "Oh, I was so stirred in my inner man. Oh, it was so moving." You'll hear somebody say that about an experience or being with somebody, and they just rejoiced or they agonized. In this case, they're hurting. They feel it. They empathize. They realize something is really, really hard. Jesus, the Son of God, He wept one time. Children, where did Jesus weep? Before He raises Lazarus from the dead. He knows He's going to raise him from the dead. He had compassion on the whole scene. Isn't that incredible? Just pause and think about that. He delays. He knows that Lazarus is going to be raised. He gets there, and what does He do? Let's raise him, get him up. All right, good. I'm going to the next village. Hardly. He hears Mary, Martha. He sees the scene, and it says, the Son of God wept. He had compassion. He knows what we feel. There's nothing you've ever felt that He doesn't understand and know. Sometimes we get caught in our own little trap. He didn't know what I'm feeling now. Yes, He does. He's acquainted with all of our hurts. He knows the Lord Jesus Christ took on human form. He became a man. He knows. He hurt. He sees. He's moved with pity. Is that what the ESV says? Compassion? It's a deep, heartfelt sympathy. A deep, heartfelt sympathy. I had to make a very brief stop driving here. At a QT, very brief. And in God's providence, I can only park right by the front door. Seems like every time I come here, I have to tell you about encountering the next street person, right? I think I have before when I've been with you. And I'm in and out, I'm putting something in my back seat, and I turn and I hear a voice. Sir, can you help me? Right at the front door. QTs have a few people coming and going, right? I mean, it's a happening spot. I don't know how many they run through those places, people. So all of a sudden, here's this guy wearing a tie on a Sunday. It already stands out. I'll just be real honest with you. It does. And here's this lady in a pretty hard situation. Well, she doesn't get a sentence or two into it. She's crying. So Philip and her are right there, and everybody's coming and going, including, again, the staff that are in there. And the whole scene is unfolding right outside the door. Why do I emphasize it to you? Because I'm going to come and endeavor by the grace of God to speak to you on a compassionate Savior. I'm going to try to be faithful just to lift Him up. And I'm right now in a moment, am I going to be compassionate with her? What's her need? What's happening in her life? What little bit I got, it's a mess. It's a mess. But do we see things from within? This thing of being moved with pity. It was pitiful. The whole thing was pitiful. But the great reality with the Lord Jesus Christ, He knows it, saints. He knows it. He feels it. He's ready to move. That's what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, felt for a leper. He feels the desperate need, and He is ready to take over, if you want to say that. Ready to take over. So how does Jesus show compassion? And this is where I want to center in as we go through. There's four aspects I want to mention about His compassion, and then I want to apply it to us. Thank you for staying with me. Hang in there. How does Jesus with the leper show compassion? As they would say, give me the details. I need TMI on this one. I need more information. Give me more details. Okay? Four things. He's approachable. You want to get a meeting with the mayor of Dallas tomorrow? You're not going to be able to get it. You can't get to him. Right? You want to get a mayor probably here in Plano and get to the mayor in Plano? You're not going to be able to do it. I can just tell you. I promise you. You're not going to get to see your congressman tomorrow, not unless you've got some real connections. What's my point? You don't just get an audience with anybody. Number one, people in high positions or what they think is high position, they're not approachable. Not generally speaking. This is God in the flesh approachable. Children got to run and sit in Jesus' lap. Does that not blow your mind? I've got 8 grandchildren now. It doesn't matter where I am or how important the situation is. If you open that door back there right now, the likelihood is some of those little ones are going to run up here with me. Why? Because they think Pops is approachable. They're not sure what's going on in here, but they know Pops. They'll come to be with me. You see where I'm going? The Lord Jesus Christ, saints, is the most approachable human being that ever walked the earth. He's not distant. He's not high-minded. He's not political. And He's not a social, arrogant man. He's the Son of God that came to seek and save that which is lost. And that's what the girl in the prison who got saved told me 3 days ago. He came to rescue me. Yes, He's approachable. He receives a leper. Let me say that again. He receives a leper. Wait a minute. The Old Testament, they're supposed to be set apart. Jesus is the Word, right? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Him. Everything about the Old Testament, New Testament are all put on display in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He lets a leper come to Him. Phenomenal. He's approachable. Nobody in society, we couldn't, if I was his brother or a family member, I couldn't be with him ever again. But Jesus lets him approach. He gladly lets him come. We see this with others, don't we? You know, we would see this with harlots and tax collectors, people that would come to him. And people around Jesus were just like, oh, Jesus, you don't need to worry with them. You could see it this morning at QT, people thinking, sir, you really don't need to waste your time with her today. Y'all follow me on that? That's just what people think. What do you mean we don't need to waste our time? We know the one that gave his life for us. Jesus is approachable, and this man found it out. Did he ever? Jesus will gladly let people come to him. William Hendrickson said this, Jesus did not hold anybody in low esteem for being a leper. There were no gradations or no separations. Any and everybody can get to the Lord Jesus Christ. Run to Him. So He's approachable, right? Outcasts in society, high people in society, doesn't matter. Go to Jesus Christ, He receives. It says that Nicodemus came to Him by night, right? Nicodemus got to Him by night and had his phenomenal discourse or dialogue with Jesus there in John chapter 3. So He's approachable. He knows our hurts. He knows your agonies. Today, many of you are going to leave today, and this theme is going to grip you, and you're going to leave, and you're going to have things, and you need to go to Him because He's approachable. He's ready to receive you. What burdens, what agonies, what things you're carrying, you need to take them to Jesus. Go to Him. Because He is approachable. Second, we see with Jesus, He touched the leper. This is the one many, many, many months ago in studying through this, this is where I begin to break, honestly. He touched him. I have a little thing that I do with my kids and now my grandkids. I've done it. It's so patterned that I don't even think about it. When they walk through the house or walk through the room, I put my hand out. So if it's a 4-year-old or if it's, in the case of my grown children, well into 30s, my son's 40, when they go by, they just go by and they just slap my hand. Touch. My wife walks through the room. I reach out. Sometimes she doesn't look up. She's touched. Isn't that silly? Isn't it funny? And I do it. One time one of the brothers or somebody said, is that what you do with... Oh, yeah. So I have to learn, the little ones have to learn to touch. Pops wants to touch them. Reach out. Touch. Think about that. Isn't that a gift? Just to be able to touch? It's just an expression of love. Sincerity. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. I don't know why I started doing it. But now Jesus... What's His perspective towards the leper? He touches him. That's what it says here. The first thing, after it says He was moved with compassion, He puts forth His hand. Whew. Beloved, the Old Testament law would say the man's unclean. He's off limits. The society we're around at QT today would say she's off limits. We don't waste time with her. Being honest with you, that's what society says in general. But in the realm of the love of Jesus Christ, He touches. Does He ever? He touches. He embraces. He holds. He lifts. Right? You see this in the, just if you could, you know, it makes you want to just scan through all the Gospels today and look at every time where He touches people. It just blows you away. That's what He's doing here. He touches a leper. It's almost guaranteed that if you touch him, you're going to pick up.
this dreaded disease. But he touches him. The Lord Jesus could have spoken to the man, right? He could have just said some things to him. He could have accomplished all he needed to do with social distancing. Hey, you're okay. I see your needs. Stay back. I'll take care of it. Not with the Lord Jesus. He's moved with compassion and he touches the man. He touches him. Saints, I mean, do you know this? This truth? This touch? This reality? He touches him. He's going to show compassion towards him just in touching him. He's going to heal him. That's the greater thing he's about to do. But he shows such love and sincerity to him. He touches him. Can you imagine how long it might have been since this man had anybody touch him? No telling. 2 years, 12 years, who knows? To never have the touch of another human being. I tell you what, when he got the touch, he got it from the one and only, the preeminent one, the Lord Jesus Christ. He touched him. Let that sink in today. He still touches us today, right now. He carries us. Do you feel it? At times you just feel it. There's just no doubt. I've been in cars. I've been traveling, doing things, and all of a sudden there's going to be an accident and I can't explain it. God kept me in His mercy. He kept me. He carried me. Lord God, how great You are. So first, He's approachable. Second, He touches this man. Third, He's willing. He's willing to help him. This is not some, they're going to have to cut a deal. He's willing to help. Jesus ready stands, right? Ready to save you is the hymn writer. Come ye sinners, poor and needy. Jesus ready. He's ready. He's willing. He knows. He sees. He cares. He moves. He's willing. He wants to heal this man. He wants to heal our problems today. He wants to heal the deep, deep things that nobody can get to, but He can. Jesus said unto him, I will. Two words. Cumulative of five characters, five right letters from the alphabet. I will. There it is. It's the greatest five alphabet words or letters put together in the history of the leper's life. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, says, I will. He wants to. He longs to. He delights to. Isn't that incredible? When we cry out for each other, when we cry out in these continued days for Jesse Barrington, He loves to do great things, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God. He reigns. He wants His name to be exalted in our life, in Jesse's life, in everybody that walks with His life. He wants His name to be shed abroad, to be celebrated. And that's what He does here in this man. He actually tells him, don't go tell everybody. We're not even going to go after that part of the story. How can he remain quiet? But Jesus says, I will. Two magnificent small words. No questions. No questions to the man. No long analysis. No ridicule. No delay. No judgment. No, I'll get back with you next week. Why don't you come back? Why don't you go do this? Why don't you go talk to the Pharisee? Nothing. I will. She said, I will. It's going to happen right now. When he's going to do it, he's going to do it right now. Beloved, are you hearing this? Are y'all hearing this? I will. Jesus says, I will. What would you want me to do? What would you have me to do? That's what he'll ask sometimes. What do you want me to do? I'll do it. He's ready to help. So he's willing. And fourth, he heals the man. Total healing. Total change. You're talking about skin that was horrible, a physical frame that was horrible. He's changed. Makes me wonder what in the world his friends and family and others begin to say about him when they saw him. You talk about going back in time. It's likely that his skin was as fresh and new as when he was born. Meaning it was just made new. Can you imagine if he'd been married or if he had kids that were grown or little kids? Who knows? But he's clean. He's washed. He's made new. Jesus touches. Jesus says, I will. Be thou clean. He's made new. It says in the text, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed. Gone. and he was cleansed.
Jesus doesn't have to build it up, right? He didn't have to work through a 3-step plan or a 7-step plan. He just heals. He's God. He reigns. He rules today. When I was driving here and rethinking about this whole metro area, I was just thinking this whole region, 8 to 10 million, whatever it is, they need to hear the triumphant glory and majesty of Jesus Christ. Every mayor, every city councilman, every leader, every corporate exec in this area needs to just be quiet and hear the majesty of Jesus Christ. Who does these things? God. Well, He's God. He's God who came. Total healing. What no man could do, Jesus did instantly. No more misery, no more shame, no more separation, no more being an outcast. He's now a son of the Most High. He's washed. I don't think there's any doubt that ultimately what had happened on the outside, Jesus was doing on the inside, making him a new man. Perfectly clean. The perfectly clean makes the unclean well. The Holy One touches the unholy and makes him holy, makes him clean. What a Savior. What a God. What a King. We're not just celebrating a little baby in a manger these next few days, this week. We're not singing songs just about the little one, as Brother Phil said. We're talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, reigning triumphant today, every century, every week, every month, every generation. He's been reigning. Right? And so He's active. He's doing His perfect will. That's the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me end bringing it right down as I've been trying to do as I go. Let's bring it right where we are. What about you today? What about us? Is Jesus ready to show compassion for you, to you? Resoundingly, the answer is yes. Yes. Jesus stands ready. He's there for us. Four aspects for you and I. The Lord Jesus Christ is always approachable. Brothers, sisters, don't hold back. Get to Him. Get to Him. Run to Him. Whether you're here, in your car, wherever you are this at work this week, whatever you're doing, just hide away with Him. Go find Him. Find Him in His Word. Cry out to Him from the heart. Look unto Jesus. Look and live. Find mercy. No matter what your burden is, your struggles, your loneliness, your hopelessness, the Lord Jesus Christ says, come to me. Come. Get to Him. He's approachable. Second, He's ready to embrace. We're not just talking about sticking His hand out there every now and then. We're talking about the Son of God embracing us in His arms. Can't imagine what those disciples, week after week and month after month, what they saw. Surely there were times they were overwhelmed with such love. They would just run into His arms. I mean, I got to see Phil today. Just want to embrace Him. It's a privilege, isn't it? Can you imagine the Son of God? He embraces us. He carries us. His embrace is more profound and glorious than my wife's embrace could ever be. We're talking about God. Oh, saints, get hold of this. He embraces us. Third, He's willing. You don't have anything too big for Him. You just don't. You have things that are crushing you, that have dominated you, that have you under it. But He's not where He has any limitation. He can take it. He can change it today, this week. And I'm not trying to create some drama in the wrong way. He's the Lord God. He's the Savior who does everything. And He can change your situation, and He's willing. Go to Him. And lastly, He will deliver. He'll triumph. He'll do it. He'll give cleansing, comfort, refreshing, renewal, joy, fresh hope, fresh perspective, taking you from this place and putting you here. Right? Delivering you, making you see things from His perspective and feel His love and His comfort. He sheds abroad His love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. He sheds it abroad. It's active. It's moving. He's in us. Beloved, this is the Savior of the world. He's compassionate. He abounds in loving kindness and compassion. Go to Him. Go to Him. Get to Him. You young people, now, at this point in your life, wherever you are, get to the Lord Jesus Christ and give Him all of you. Don't hold back. You're all in. Turn to Him. He's worthy of all. Well, amen. A compassionate Savior seen in the life and healing and deliverance of a hopeless man, the leper. Let me pray. Father, what a scene. What a picture. A hopeless man. Just completely cast away. Needing a miracle beyond what any man could think. And he hears of you. He runs to you. You draw him with your cords of love. Lord Jesus, how great you are. We're so grateful for your word, for these stories, for these recounting of what you said, what you did. You touched him, you spoke to him, you received him. Lord, all these magnificent truths liberate us more to be lovers and runners to you, to come to you. Help the dear ones here today. Lord, whatever they're carrying, whatever burdens, whatever leprosy seems to be haunting them, Lord, draw near, do great things. For your name's sake, blessed be your name, Lord God, through Christ. Amen.